It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome everybody to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you all hour, along with Craig Renshaw, our resident PGA professional, and Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. He's our resident historian, and he is an emeritus historian, my favorite. And guys, we've got a good one today. A couple of things going on in the world of golf. We're trying to do a season ending. We can look at the schedule and see where the ladies are going. DP World, we know, is heading over to their big final event. PGA Tour still has a couple events, but we'll talk all about that when we get there. And you and Craig could help me out, Bob, on the schedule. But we're going to go over the weekend golf, wrap it up, all that going on. Now, this week is the big Charles Schwab Cup Championship here in Phoenix at the Phoenix Country Club. And just a beautiful place, and the course is always in immaculate condition, and this year is no different. Stephen Alker leads the points. Miguel Angel Jimenez is right there behind him, and there's others. 36 players will be there this week. I'll be there this week, and we have our honorary observer, one of my great listeners, John, who is a longtime listener, earned that right to be the honorary observer. Congratulate to John and his friend. They'll be walking inside the ropes on one of the 4 days with whichever twosome they give them. So I'll be out there, do a little video with them, interview some of the players. It's going to be a fun week out of Phoenix Country Club. It's going to be a beautiful week today, 88 here in Phoenix. So we've got a beautiful week coming up. Normally at this time of the year, it is so, but it's a little warmer than usual. So everybody make sure you hydrate, get that sunscreen on. Even in the winter, if it's chilly out and you're wearing a sweater, playing golf or any other outdoor activity, make sure you get that sunscreen on your face and the back of your neck, ears, and your hands, out top of your hands. All right. Very good. You know, there is a wonderful new Anthem-only company, and I have enjoyed so much learning about them, and they became a sponsor, and it's called Homeland Brew Company, homelandbrewco.com. They have a tap room in Anthem here, which is in North Phoenix, where this show comes from. They have a family-friendly environment. They have rotating food trucks every evening. They have 20 different taps in the restaurant and the tap room area. They're kid-friendly, dog-friendly, and yeah, they're mom and dad-friendly too. Just a wonderful place, and the owners are great people. They live right here in the Anthem area, and they even have to-go if you want it. So come hungry, stay thirsty, and have a lot of fun. There's an entire play area inside the restaurant for the kids. And it's a pretty big place, too. Lots of people there the last time I was in during the evening. So everything happening at homelandbrewco.com. And I also want to tell you that the Legacy Golf Resort is having a big, big annual golf tournament. And this golf tournament is presented by the Legacy Golf Resort. It is Toys for Ryan House. Craig, you might even remember that big golf tournament. I know they've been doing it for years.
Yep.
Toys for Ryan's House. It's the 13th of December. And bring a toy and spread joy And that's what the Legacy Golf Resorts is. It's $150 per person. It's an 8 o'clock shotgun start. And they're going to have a buffet lunch, a four-person scramble. Go to golflegacyresort.com. And don't forget all of the championship golf there at the golflegacyresort.com. Don't forget the Legacy Golf Performance Center, where you every person, no matter your age, anything, any person can go in. Even professionals train there at the Performance Center. And then they have a whole event center, beautiful outdoor area. The restaurant serves up great food. Just everything that you would want in a golf resort, you've got it at golflegacyresort.com. Thank them so very much for their continued sponsorship and everything they do to help make this show happen, along with the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show. And yes, we're advertising for them on my television show, Match Play with Ray Adams. How do you find the radio, this podcast, both of them, and my television show? You go to golfnewsnet.com, golfnewsnet.com. Go into the radio tab, find my shows. Go into the TV tab, find the shows. And then also out on all of your audio platforms that you like to listen to music and podcast. And then, of course, Roku and Amazon Fire and Apple and other platforms where you watch your videos, your television shows. And that is thanks to golfnewsnet.com. All right, guys, when I was at Media Day, I had a wonderful chance to interview a past champion. And you'll hear me say something that I had forgotten about Stephen Alker. Let's catch up with Stephen in a wonderful little interview here for just a couple minutes, then we'll talk about it. Adams here at Media Day at Phoenix Country Club for the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, and I'm standing next to champion, and something that I knew, but I hadn't thought about it as I was driving to the club today to interview Stephen Alker. Stephen, welcome, and thanks for joining me for a couple quick questions.
Thanks, Ray. Good to see you again.
And of the times you've played in this golf tournament, you've finished no less than in the top three. And I know they ask you about what about the course and all of that. Well, of course, you live in the Phoenix area and you can come and play. I don't know, is that a big advantage to you, or is it just horses, courses for horses? Is it meet your eye? What about it?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, to play well around Phoenix Country Club, you got to do everything well, right? You got to drive in the fairway and you need to be precise with the irons and great putting surfaces. So if you're rolling the ball, it's there for the taking. So I think, as I said in my interview there, with the group, that just stepping on the facilities, you get a good feeling, and they're great. The staff here and everybody does a great job of just making us feel like go and play golf, and the rest takes care of itself.
What do you need to do to win this next week?
Shoot the lowest score,
beat Miguel
basically.
Angel Jimenez also.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's right behind me. Stewart Cink's not far away. So there's some scenarios. There's that can happen, and that's always happened every year, pretty much, apart from Stricker's year. But it's just focus on winning, and that'll take care of itself.
Do you come in with a strategy and a plan and then execute that, or do you just come playing the course as you've known it so well?
I mean, the course hasn't changed, so it's just a matter of getting the preparation where I want, and then just go play golf.
All
Everything
right.
else will take care of itself.
All right, there he is, Stephen Alker. I'm going to let you get to your lunch. Thank you so much for joining, folks.
Thank you.
We'll all be watching, and I'll be here and see you, maybe interview you again as the champion yet again
I hope so.
here at
Thanks,
the
Ray.
Charles Schwab Cup Championship. Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Stephen. We ended up talking for several minutes after that interview, but Stephen Alker is truly one of the nicest people that I've ever interviewed. And I've interviewed, I'll say, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds over the years, 25 years, but it may be 1,000. And he truly is one of the nicest people, so down to earth. He's very accessible, and he takes care of the fans. He takes care of the volunteers. And I know, Bob, well, we're all big on volunteers at all golf tournaments because they give so much so they can be there and, well, make the golf tournament happen. Without the volunteers, there is no golf tournament. Sponsors as well, fans as well. but those volunteers make it go. And I've watched him over the years since he has come to his meteoric rise and fame on the Champions Tour, and turned into Stephen Alker. He was always Stephen Alker, but not the Stephen Alker today that we know of for the last few years. Bob, talk a little bit about it, and I know that you have a heart for the volunteers.
Well, first for the volunteers, they are the DNA of any golf tournament, and just like you said, they wouldn't have a golf tournament without volunteers. As
Good way to
simple as
put it.
that. That's a lot of people that are necessary on that property, wherever that property may be. But they also come in at all kinds of hours of the day to be a part of it because they show a passion for it, of all ages, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm behind the volunteers 100% because I've seen how much they've helped golf tournaments that don't get much play around the country and how much they mean to those golf tournaments. Back to Stephen Alker. Well, he sort of reminds me of the latest chapter in A Second Life in on the tour, and I would I put him up there obviously with people like the Roger Chapmans of the world that won so many majors in the including the Senior PGA Championship. Stephen won our Senior PGA Championship. He's won 10 times on the PGA Tour Champions. When he won no PGA Tour events, he won 4 times on the Korn Ferry Tour and 3 times on the PGA Tour of Australasia. He's got a repeatable swing from a layman's point of view, and that's what I enjoy about watching him, and the great attitude. And he handles adversity so well. And he's since 2021, he's won every year, so he's done very well.
Well, he's quite a guy and he's quite a player, and he has a great family that supports him. On his bag, he doesn't have his name like so many players do. It says Team Alker. And that's all of his sponsors, his family, his wonderful wife, and friends that give him a massive support system that he says is so very, very critical to his success. So we wish him all the best. And if I'm interviewing him on Sunday, well, we'll know why. Finished in the top three, and every time he's played in this golf tournament. Craig, final word on Stephen Alker. What do you like about his game, his swing, mental approach? Just a wonderful little interview with him there. And I think I covered just about everything relevant for this week.
Well, I think he shows that, golf is a game of dedication, and some people peak earlier, some people peak later. He has found his niche in golf swing and where he's playing his best probably in the last, 5, 6 years. So, to get to the Champions Tour and then sustain where he's at for the last three, four, I think that's great. So I think it shows to all of us that you never know when you're going to be at your peak. But right now, for whatever reason, this is his time, and he is playing some of his best golf in his life for the last few years now.
Very good. The Ryder Cup is still in the news, and we said that it would be for at least a couple of months after, and maybe on into, 3 months. Who knows? Because it was 2 years ago. It usually always is. Rory McIlroy, the article about Rory, a mention that Rory received a lovely apology from the PGA of America. The article says Rory has gone on to break his silence in the Ryder Cup drama, revealing a lovely letter of apology from the PGA of America CEO Derek Sprague after he and his wife Erica faced abuse from US fans at Bethpage. Despite a beer being thrown and relentless jeers, McIlroy says the hostility only fueled Team Europe unity on their way to the 15-13 victory. Joined by Shane Lowry, the duo turned tension into triumph as McIlroy now chases the race to Dubai glory. And we'll be watching and seeing how he does this week. It proves that class and composure still win. And I think it's. I think it's appropriate that they wrote the letter, Craig. I wonder what took them so long to do it. Maybe they Were discussing it in the annual meeting or had already figured it out, but I would have liked to seen that letter go out within a few days of the Ryder Cup. What say you?
Well, I mean, there's just, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't know why it had to be announced that he got a letter. Yes, I would have liked to seen it gone out earlier. It's just something else that we're going to be able to critique and say that's something that didn't happen when it should have, probably. But, it's just another example of what's going on with our leadership. So
I would
I think it's.
like to read the letter, but it may be private and it may be very personal in that whatever Derek Sprague said, Rory is not sharing the letter. At least I couldn't. I looked for a couple minutes and I couldn't find it anywhere. But anyway, Bob, what do you make of it?
Well, I said in this program several weeks ago after the Ryder Cup, whenever there is a crisis in PR management or PR anywhere in business and sports, wherever it may be, you address it head on. You don't let it linger like a festering cancer of so, oh, so that's a poor example, but just like it's lingering disease, whatever it may be. Because whenever you have problems in public relations, they exponentially branch out to the public. And I think that it's unique that this Ryder Cup is not so much about what happened in the ropes, it's what happened outside the ropes. And that's the first time in my career that I've seen that happen, and probably the first time for many observers. So there's a problem in managing for the future, and that has to be addressed. And we talked about that many times. And I think it's simple. Use no tolerance and control. Just use that and politely give that ahead of time to those coming in and watching the Ryder Cup, because we certainly want to keep that Ryder Cup at the pinnacle of golf's spectacle events. We want to keep it high on the charts because it has done well for charities and it has done well for both organizations, the PGA Great Britain, Ryder Cup Europe, and the United States.
All right, very good. Speaking about Rory, I believe it was Global Golf Post that has a little article in it about where does Rory go from here? Apparently, there's speculation and talk about Rory's, call it his second part of his career. I still think he's young enough to win a couple more majors, and I plan on him doing that. It will be not a surprise at all. But I'll tell you, he's got a lot, to work on with Scottie Scheffler and some of these young players. I mean, it looks like a who's who of not just the Korn Ferry Tour, but it looks like a who's who of, these new players that you just don't know their name. And they've got to win, or they've got to finish high enough months in a row for their name to become familiar with the fans, the TV viewers, and really even, golf journalists and a podcast like this one. Now we watch it every week. We look at it every week. We study the different players, especially if I don't know their names. I look them up. I even looked up Aaron Rye again, and yet we know about him. He's now been around and there, but it's just it's amazing. But I'll tell you right now, I think Rory is going to have a strong second part of his career. The question will be, is he going to continue to stay motivated, and does he still want to win, especially majors? Craig, what do you think?
Well, I think there's many things that we're speculating right now, and I think we don't know. We do know that him and his wife were struggling a couple years ago. They got back together, which was great. I wonder if his next career choice and how much he will be gone will be determined on how strong their marriage is. I think that's a big component of it. It wouldn't surprise me if something was agreed upon. Hey, I'm going to give it 3 more years and then I'm going to retire from golf, and it's going to be us and family, and I'm going to be home all the time versus traveling 35, 40 weeks out of the year. That to me would be something really, really important for them. So those things matter. Rory's had a great career. If he decided to stop to now, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to go down as one of the best of all time. You know, if he can refocus and get a new goals, who knows if he set a new goal to get through. I think those are all the things that matter. And, he will do fine in whatever he decides to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob?
I think Rory could be safely saying maybe he's finding out what Jack Nicklaus found out before his career began, that family matters, navigating time matters, the grind of the tour matters, and how well I prepare for a major matters. I'm just quoting him on this latest quote I found online. I don't want to be grinding out here at 50 years of age. I'll turn up and play the majors and have a nice time.
You don't think Champions Tour is in his future? Although that's going to be probably changing too. And I'm not going to go into that. There's nothing I know that other people don't know other than the PGA Tour is changing. And the PGA Tour champions will likely change as well. I hope it stays right where it is. Love the Champions Tour. Know most all the players. So many of them have been on my television show with me, or I've interviewed, and again, it's going to happen this week. I'll do a couple nice videos and post those with a couple of the players. So let's see what happens to PGA Tour champions. But for now, we have it right there, and we've got a big event coming up. And by the way, folks, you want to go to schwabcup.com. They've got specials on tickets. They've got specials going on around the golf course. They've got special treatment and attention for our military. They've got special attention and accommodations for our junior players. So you want to go to schwabcup.com, read all about it, get in there, get your tickets, and head to Phoenix Country Club if you're coming in from out of town. And I already know some people that are coming in from, well, some of them from far away, coming into the Schwab Cup Championship this week. You're going to have a great time, and you should experience some beautiful weather. So that's happening. And then speaking of the Ryder Cup and Rory, and speaking of Luke Donald from the Ryder Cup, did you guys catch the article about Luke Donald? Dropped this week a huge hint as to what's going on with him. Did you read it, Bob?
I just looked at the speculative piece that was written in Golf Week. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, but it was Luke Donald talking, mm-hmm. and it says let's talk about this because this is an interesting one, and we've got to have a look at some history here, Bob. Luke Donald is not rushing into any decisions regarding the 2027 Ryder Cup. The article starts out. But yes, he has hinted a decision could be reached after spending some downtime with his loved ones. Talks about winning in Rome and winning at Bethpage a few weeks ago. And he has yet to decide whether to continue as Team Europe's captain for the next Ryder Cup in Ireland. But Graham McDowell is there, and he's willing to step into Donald's shoes. Graham McDowell would really like to do it. Quote, Donald says, quote, I take time to think these things through. I don't think there's any rush. I still want to enjoy this one, which I agree with that. It's just been recently. He told Golf Week is where the article is. After this week, I have a little downtime and we'll chat with some people and see where we are. I feel like I've climbed the mountain, so to speak, and I certainly have nothing left to prove. I love what it represents, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it. But he will not be captain in 2029, he says, because Luke Donald says he plans to play on the PGA Champions Tour. So the article goes on, and there's more quotes from him, but I think he's seriously considering being captain for a third time in a row. Bob, what's the history on that?
The last third-time champion in a row was Bernard Gallagher, and he finally got his victory on his third try at Oak Hill. Tony Jacklin was four in a row ahead of that, And we know his heritage because he turned the Ryder Cup around positively for the for Europe. Di Reese before him was four times in a row, and Walter Hagen leads them all with six in a row. And that was just because the Ryder Cup was just getting under its footing back then, and it needed a strong leader, and that was Walter. But back to Europe, they'll always be open to have a winning captain coming back. They have no qualms about that. They've always had that. If that guy is willing to participate, yes. If they feel that that person can fit in and adapt with the players, yes. And Luke is to the Ryder Cup, which probably Coach K was to Duke and to college basketball. I think he's that kind of an inspirational person, and he gets along with the people so well. And people say, "Hey, Luke, we love you in Chicago because you're a Northwestern graduate." So he has no enemies out there, and that's one of the important things, that he has the messaging, and he has got, which Coach K and John Wooden and all those of the great coaches of the past had. They had the ability to inspire by their messages to their players, and I think that's important. Even though we will downgrade the ability of a captain here, some people say, because it doesn't mean anything in golf. Well, in the case of Europe, I believe, and always will believe, it means something.
It means something, all right. Craig, who could argue with having Luke Donald be the European Ryder Cup captain a third time in a row? I don't think anybody on the planet. Or
as
would you
Bob
like to
said,
see a change?
no, I don't care. I mean, I think he's done a good job. It's how much time he wants to involve himself into it. He's on a high. Does he want to continue to try, lack of a better term, push the envelope, or does he want to go out on a, he will go down as a great Ryder Cup captain. He's enjoyed it. Once again, it depends on what his goals are and what's he want to achieve, try to achieve.
Yes.
If he has a good team and he feels like that they can come back and do well, and he likes the golf course enough that he thinks he can be a three-time winner out there, but he sets the bar pretty high for Ryder Cup captains over in Europe for a while, So I'm all for it, and whatever he wants to do is great. But I think he could also leave on a high note right now and decide, you know what, I've had enough, and it can't get much better than this.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go out for a little bit of a break. When we come back, Craig and Bob and I will be back with you. We're going to wrap up the world's golf. Craig will cover the PGA. Bob, you can take us over to the DP World and the LPGA tour. We'll have that discussion. And I want to thank the Legacy Golf Resort at golflegacyresort.com and Homeland Brew Company, homelandbrewco.com, for bringing us this segment today. We appreciate them so much. And when we come back, I'll have a couple mentions and we're going to go straight back into the show. So stay with me for a couple minutes and listen to these important messages that will help you and your game.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
felt so good.
All right, greetings and welcome back, everybody. Ray Adams here with Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw back with you. And, of course, I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes. I thank them every show. And we talk about Squares. We talk about Squares has the wider toe box, the square toe. Squares is famous for that. They have proprietary shoelaces. Can you believe it? Bob Winskowitz has thought of everything. The cleats are on the bottom of the shoe in perfect technical places where they should be. The distance shoe, the comfort shoe, and Nick Faldo says if you change your shoe, you're going to change your game. They've been voted the best golf shoe in the world by different organizations now multiple times and years in a row, and this year is no different. I continue to talk about them, wear the shoes, both on camera and wherever I go. I'll be wearing them at the Schwab Cup Championship this weekend. And I always get players and fans to ask me, hey, how do you like those shoes? What kind of shoes are those? And of course, I stop and give them a little miniature advertisement and tell them to get to squares.com. That's where you need to go, squares.com. And I also want to thank Canyon Verde or Canyon Mesa Country Club in Sedona. I want to thank them so very much for being with me. If you want to play a beautiful, beautiful golf course, you want to go up there. Willie Dark is the PGA professional. And don't be fooled when it says country club. Canyon Mesa Country Club is open to the public. It is a nine-hole course that's in the beautiful, beautiful Red Rock country of Sedona. So whenever you're coming into Arizona, if you stay anywhere in Arizona, you're going to want to go play Canyon Mesa Country Club. It winds down through the Red Rock Canyons. Absolutely gorgeous. One of my favorite places to be and to play golf is Canyon Mesa Country Club. Don't forget about them. And, of course, Augusta Ranch is down in the Chandler area, Augusta Ranch Golf Club. You want to go there and find out about that great golf course owned by my friend Don Ray. And you also want to go to Springfield Golf Resort. Craig, what about Springfield? You taught there for years, as before that you taught at Legacy Golf Resort. But tell us just a little quick blurb about Springfield Golf Resort.
R61. Great little golf course, can play it in about 2.5-3 hours at worst case. Morgan and Rich have done a wonderful job updating it and making big changes every year at Overseeing. If I was still there, I'd be very curious to see what they updated this year. They always make nice little changes over the Overseeing and for when they come back.
Absolutely, they do. They do a great job. Rich and Morgan are they're golf course owners that care about their golfers. They care about their golf course. And when you're the owner, you have to be like that. Running a golf course is not an easy job. Every day there's something new, problematic, that they have to overcome every day. And, of course, we know they depend on their wonderful superintendent, but the course always looks great. And they have a nice restaurant there. As most golf courses do. But again, the food is good. People are friendly. The owners are super nice and pay attention to the details that will help you have a wonderful round at Springfield Golf Club. And as I said, Canyon Mesa Country Club in Sedona, Augusta Ranch, a golf club down in Chandler. I mean, there are so many places that I could talk about playing golf, but those are some of my very, very favorites. I appreciate them so very, very much. All right, let's get back to it. I'm going to go back to the comments of Rory, or excuse me, not Rory, but the comments of Graham McDowell, because Graham McDowell would love to play. He said, it's on my mind, but I don't know if I'll be able to overcome it. Now, I'm not quoting the article, but in the same article about Luke Donald, Graham McDowell would love to be the Ryder Cup captain. But he's concerned that because he joined LIV, he may be disqualified in order to become a captain. He's not a member of the DP World Tour. He's a member of LIV. Which Liv we know is going to four rounds of golf now, so that's an interesting little shift in their format. And there was a lot of criticism that they were only three, and you know all the other things about Liv we're not going to get into, but they're now going to go to four rounds, and that'll help them with probably official world golf rankings, and I hope. But back to Graham McDowell, he won the 2010 U.S. Open. I was standing there when he won and interviewed him. Just the nicest guy. Also, again, Irish. And he wants to be the Ryder Cup captain with his live golf thing experience issue. He says, I maybe not. I maybe they maybe will not. I might not be able to do it. What about it, Craig? Should he be a Ryder Cup captain? If not the next time, maybe in 4 years.
Yeah, why not?
Well, because of Liv and
Well,
all the backlash. That's what he think. That's what he said.
I look at it as if I was working for Verizon, then went back and took another job with AT&T, and then does that mean I can't ever come back and get a job with Verizon? I just don't see that. Or attorneys go to different law firms and come back. I just don't understand why we think the hostility. Baseball players take contracts with different teams and come back. We left St. Louis to go to Chicago and then come back to St. Louis. I don't understand why this has become such a big deal that you can't do this. That
Right.
this is such a big deal.
Well, it was
This
because
is
of the
it's the dumbest
animosity.
thing in the world. Dumbest
It
thing in the
is
world.
stupid. I don't agree with what happened 3 years ago. And, you know, I appreciate and agree with your comments. I think that he should be captain when his time comes. And I think live golf players, golfers should be able to play the PGA Tour, but they have banned them and said no. Now, will there ever be a time, Bob, that you think they're going to be able to open the door and let them come back on tour? I mean, we've gone back and forth about this, and we're kept in the dark about so many things between the PGA Tour and LIV. But it doesn't look like LIV is going away anywhere soon. And, you know, now they're going to four rounds to try to get those golf rankings. What do you think of it? Should Graham McDowell be the captain of the Ryder Cup?
I think Graham Dahl is definitely a top candidate if they'll DP World Tour and Ryder Cup Europe get on the same page. They certainly opened the door when they allowed Jon Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton to play in the Ryder Cup at Bethpage and be on appeal for their fines with the DP World Tour. And I think that opened the door because there's a lot of gray area over there. And I think Europe. Ryder Cup of Europe says if we're going to sustain ourselves, are we going to be at odds with these great players that are playing on LIV? Are we going to be able to mend the fences in the best way we can by certain areas and keep it that way? The Open Championship always invites in LIV players. They've never had any issue with that. And I think it's going to be, well, I hate to compare it to it, but it could be like our government. Sometime along, there's going to be a compromise.
I think there will be a compromise, and I think that they will ultimately figure out how to live with each other and hopefully let some of these great players back on the PGA Tour. You know, you miss seeing Jon Rahm play on the PGA Tour. I
Well,
miss him.
wasn't Henrik Stenson supposed to be a captain and then got
He was
tailed?
booted, and that's
He
when
was booted.
they put in Luke Donald.
You know, so maybe we should be talking about Henrik getting the job before Graham McDowell.
Well, yeah, but if you're chosen as captain and then they boot you, I think it's going to be much more difficult for him, even if they compromise with Liv, to be a captain because there's probably such hard feelings there. And Graham McDowell wasn't booted, he wasn't chosen as captain. And if they do compromise, I think he will likely be next in line. I don't know that you'll ever see Henrik Stenson. Bob, what do you make?
Look where they're playing the next Ryder Cup, and that has maybe a little bit involved in it. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the PGA Tour. We got a player who won in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and I watched quite a bit of the golf. And Ben Griffin reminds me and even looks a little bit like Justin Thomas. When I first saw him walking down the fairway, it was a little bit of a distance. I thought, is that JT? But anyway, what a player. And everybody was talking about he won because he went with a mallet putter, which is the same putter, I believe, that Scotty Scheffler plays with. So here's Ben Griffin winning his third event of the year. And I don't know that he's done yet. He could easily win one of the next two tournaments. Craig, what about Ben Griffin? What do you like about his game? 29 under par, by the way. I mean, come on. That is just ridiculous. But I guess a couple times a year, you have a big Wild West shootout, and they score. It was a birdie fest from the opening tee shot to the finishing putt. 29 under par, and he only won by two against Rami and Valamaki. Higo had a bad take or a bad event happen. This guy Cone is another player that not many people know about him, but he is a player. There was a lot of good players in this golf tournament, and I think you're going to see them in the future, not only winning tournaments, but their name is going to get bigger. Craig, what about Ben Griffin?
Breakout year. Good year for him. Averaging, you know, over 7 under par. I mean, you got 8 players that averaged under 6 under par for the whole tournament. I mean, when you shoot 24 under par like Nick Dunlop did, and you're not even sniffing the lead, you're losing by 5 shots. This is, regardless of the quality of the players, or not the quality of the players, but the names that you recognize on the leaderboard or not, I do believe these tournaments are in certain ways hurting the PGA Tour.
How?
And they need to figure out, I know you can't control everything because of weather, but they need to figure out these events where people just go silly and go 30 under, and it's happening more and more and more. And you can sit there and say, well, it's the quality of the players. Yeah, they may be deeper when they used to, but let me tell you something. Most of the players on this list that you see are not going to be Hall of Famers. So it's not like we're having a bunch of Hall of Famers that are going out there. And, you know, it's like the big four in tennis.
So why need to do something about it? You mean they need to toughen up the course so they don't shoot 29 under par?
Yes, they need to make the pins on more difficult slopes. They need to do something. It's just getting to where it's, why do you just want to watch birdies all day? I mean, I guess, do we want to watch football where they just throw one bomb and they run 100 yards every time? Is that what they want? Okay, once in a while you see a 45 to 38 game, but most of the time you'd like to see it around 27, 21, something like that. You don't want to see these numbers all the time, and we're seeing it on the tour more and more.
Well, the courses are set up easy. Some of them are anyway, to where they do want a birdie fest. And I guess the PGA Tour thinks that thrills the television viewer, the fan, and it's just birdie after birdie after birdie. But play 29 under par, Bob. It's just too easy of a golf course, and I'd like to see not carnage, because we get that in the majors. We see, you know, the agony of defeat. We see it, but in the majors are set up to be difficult, of course. So you're going to have that happen. But I agree with you, Craig. Bob, what do you think about it? I think these courses should be set up. There needs to be more rough, unless you put DeChambeau in there, and then he just takes the rough out of play.
Well, Ray, let me interrupt real fast. I mean, he made 4 twos on Sunday. So, I mean, the par three, I mean, it's not like he's making par fives and making threes all the time. He made 4 twos on par threes. He made birdies on all par three. So there's something that's got to be set up slightly different that it is not happening like this all the time.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more with that.
Go ahead.
It's interesting. How many people at the start of the year had Ben Griffin, Rory McIlroy, and Scotty Scheffler each winning 3 times in 2025? Yeah. Did you have that on your bingo card? His 3 wins are in 4 of this career. He's had 4 rounds of 63 or lower in each of those wins. And this past year, he tied for 8th in the PGA Championship and he tied for 10th in the US Open. So that guy is legit. There's no question about it.
Oh, listen, these guys are all that good, and they can all beat anybody else at any given moment, and they do it. I know Rory's disappointed he didn't get into the DP World Final. Talk about that golf tournament, Bob, and about Aaron Rye, and then Craig, you can weigh in too in just a moment.
Well, Ray, I watched most of that tournament by turning down the volume on the commentary because I thought it was probably the most sophomoric type of volume commentary I've ever listened to in
I've
recent
done that a
years.
few times. I've done that a few times too.
But I did enjoy watching Tommy Fleetwood and Aaron Rye battle it out, both from England, native from England, believe it or not. People would not understand that, but Aaron Rye is from Indian descent, but born in England. He could easily have made the Ryder Cup team if they wanted to put him on it. And he is a fantastic player. He's precision. And I watched him going down the list. And what is amazing for me, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but the last hole, a par five, was mostly unreachable in two. They stretched out to 616 yards, and that made it interesting. You're not going to see an instant eagle or something like that. For instance, they had to work for those birdies. And what Craig said earlier, they put those pins up on a little slope and a little way from it, and you had to be on target with your wedges to have a chance. And Aaron was, and more power to him.
Hogard was right there as well at 24 under par. Fleetwood, of course, tied Aaron Rye, and they had their little playoff. And you can tell me about that. I don't know if you watched it, Craig, but you can tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch most of it at all, but we're seeing these guys. I mean, look at the leaderboard again. Look at the names you're seeing on this leaderboard. I mean, you're seeing a lot of people you don't recognize, but you're seeing a lot of these guys that you are recognizing. And I think it's important that you're seeing the best golfers still support their tour this time of year. I think it's great. They're going longer in the year. I think there's probably an agreement with the tour that they go later or whatever, but I don't know why the tour couldn't extend theirs a little bit or whatever to try to make this all work out. Because I think you can get good quality events and good players to play throughout the year a little longer, vice versa, as long as you give them the time to relax.
Well, they've got to get December off and get ready for, the new season starting in January. Although the PGA Tour already has their new season, they're in it right now, which when you say that, everybody's got to have about a month off. They just have to, and they will. So, Ludvig Åberg, by the way, Bob, your favorite player, shot 15 under par and finished 23rd place. That is wrong. I just can't believe how low these guys went this week. So anyway, Shane Lowry was right in there. Andy Sullivan playing well. Rory, of course, we already mentioned him. Nicolai Hogard and Tommy Fleetwood is just having a banner year. I know he's disappointed, but hey, Aaron Rye needed to win, gutted it out, grinded it out, and he won the tournament. So congratulations to him and all those players. Where do they head from here, Bob?
For the PGA Tour, we're talking about?
No, for the DP World.
Oh, the DP World. Okay. I don't have that schedule in front of me, Ray, but just give me
They're
a second. Yeah.
no,
Going
that's
to the
fine.
World Championship.
Go
Okay,
ahead.
fine. Yep.
That's
Thank you.
fine. Go ahead, Craig.
Thank
They're
you.
going to the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. This is their big final.
Yep.
So everybody is this is their tour championship. So you will see all the big guys are ready and locked and loaded to have a good time. And Rory's played very well out there. He knows that golf course well. And I was trying to get this in here. I think this is as good a year as I've ever seen Rory play. I know he had that little glitch, but man, has he played well this year. It's been fun to watch him play this year. Man.
Brandel Chamblee said yesterday on the wrap-up of the tournament that in all the years that he's been watching Rory play golf, going way back, to the, call it the mid-2000, he thinks that this round was the greatest round Rory has ever played. Now, that's quite a statement to make. But apparently, Rory, and I watched a little bit of Rory, and I watched a lot of the other guys because I was in and out of the room watching on my broadcast monitor here. But that's quite a statement for Brandel Chamblee to say he feels like this was the greatest. And I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but this might have been the greatest round he's ever seen Rory play. Everything was absolutely perfect.
Well, he
Correct?
had, he, go ahead.
Or go ahead. No, Bob, go ahead. Your turn.
Thanks for helping me with what their next event was, because they're going to stay in Dubai. They're not going out of the desert. But Rory had an eagle and eight birdies, but he was bogey free. And this round of 62 was his lowest ever on the DP World Tour, which is that's what says it right there. And the fact that he was able to do it this late in the year, I think that's important because, like Craig said, he's been fun to watch, and more, never more fun than his recovery at the Masters final round. But his just the ability for him to connect, and when you see him standing over a shot and they show you the yardage, oh, it's 275, blah blah blah, he'll make it. He'll get there.
And what about this? What about this player? Tommy Fleetwood, he's having a banner year, Craig. I fully expect Tommy Fleetwood or Rory to win their tour championship. Go
Oh,
ahead.
without a doubt. I mean, Tommy unlocks something, and hopefully it unlocks something, and he has a good another year or two, or what, for how long we see these players be able to keep it on a level or not. But it would be nice to see. I hope Rory can refocus in goals and say, I got another couple of years. I want two more majors or whatever it is to focus on. But it would be really nice to see him and Scotty. Last year Scotty got hurt right around January. If Scotty can keep up another year, it would be really good to see both of these guys refocused, regenerated, and just go have a both of them have really good years and watch the two of them just feed each other for another year. It would be really fun for golf to see these two gentlemen. And Rory's gotten out of the live stuff, and he's tried, I think there's just been a lot of clarifying. I would love to see both of those guys just refocus and have a good year battling each other up and down.
Yeah, I would too. Well, we're going to see a lot of Rory play golf next year. Scottie Scheffler will be back and playing a bunch of golf. And I know the two of them will go up against each other probably more than once. Let's see how they do. Looking forward to next year quite a bit to see where the PGA Tour goes. We've talked quite a bit about that. But how about the ladies, Bob? Where were they and what happened?
Well, they were in Japan over the weekend, and they had a 54-hole event. And Sunday was washed out, so they had a one-hole playoff that turned out on Monday. Excuse me, Sunday, Monday. Let's make it Monday, okay? And they Nasa Hadaoka, who has not won a major yet, won the playoff over her fellow countrywoman. And they had it's the most unusual 55-hole event you're probably going to see, but it proves that she is. Her game is solid, and she's a 5'2" bundle of energy. She can really play so very well. So that was the total classic in Japan.
I
Now
watched a
they hit
little bit of it. Go ahead.
right. And this week they head over to the Annika event in Bel-Air at Pelican Golf Club. And the most news coming out of that is not so much the great field they have, but who they got an exempt into the field.
Yes, go ahead. Tell us about it. I can't wait to hear Craig on this one.
Kai Trump, Kai Trump. Who is the granddaughter of President Trump. She has been on the AJGA, and she has had sort of a not what you call a very stellar record on the AJ, but she got an exemption for a sponsor to play in the event for Monica, who some people may remember 4 years ago was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Trump in the White House during a very bad day in America, which was happened to be, we know all about that, January 6th area. But the point is, she got an exemption. She's in the event, and that's the biggest story right now surrounding an event that shouldn't have that kind of a attention because the great players are there for this event. Annika's event is to me the women's version of Jack Nicklaus Memorial. It's hosted by a legend only in the female side, and you're going to see that their great field is there. So that's where they're playing this week.
Well, it'll be fun to see how Miss Trump does. This is the president's granddaughter. And Greg, what do you make of it?
Well, it's funny. I didn't think of her getting the exception was that big a deal. She's a heck of an accomplished junior player. I thought Bob was going to go with Caitlin Clark playing in the Pro-Am. That's what I thought he was going with it. I was like, oh, okay. We'll talk about that. She's a heck of a player. I
didn't even hear about that, but then I didn't read deep on the tournament.
Yeah, I've seen her. I haven't seen her live, but I've seen a lot of highlights of her playing golf down here since we moved down here. I mean, she's a heck of a player. So, you know, yeah. More power to her. And they have a lot of amateurs that play in Jack's event, as Bob said. So if this is how Annika wants to reward some of these girls and maybe from the women's am at the Masters and the best ones get into her event, I think that's great if that's how she wants to run her event.
Yep.
All right. Well, very good. That's the ladies. And their schedule then after Annika is what? Where do they head to?
They go to Naples to the CME Group Tour Championship.
That's their tour championship, and that's at what, Tiburon?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
Have you played that course, Craig or Bob?
No, I have not.
Nope. I live in West Palm now. Why do I want to go to Naples?
Well, I didn't know in past years you might have played it because you've played everywhere else.
It's Naples. Why would I want to go to Naples? I like
West. I don't know. I do not know why you would want to go to Naples or why you would not want to go to Naples. But I know people that live in Naples and they seem to like it. Okay.
Naples, Florida is a heck of a lot better than Naples, Italy for views, believe me.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure probably for golf too. All right. So we've got our schedules. We've got everything happening. We're going to get to the final word here in a moment, but Bob, they're asking me, I've received two emails already, does Bob have a nugget for us?
Yes, Ray, and this one concerns what we're going to celebrate tomorrow, Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And I look upon two veterans specifically, both American citizens. One was born in England, Tommy Armour. The other one is Lloyd Mangrum. And what those gentlemen did to defend freedom. And Tommy Armour is the only player in golf history to have one good eye and win major championships. And he won three majors, the 27 US Open, the 30 PGA, and the 31 Open Championship. He lost sight in his one eye in World War I during a mustard attack while he was working in a tank corps. Okay.
Gee.
He survived that. He tied for eighth in the 37 Masters. He easily could have been a Grand Slam winner. Okay. So that's Tommy Armour, became American citizen in 42. Lloyd Mangrum, under the radar for me, people, did win the 46 U.S. Open. Byron Nelson and Hogan thought he's one of the greatest players they've been around ever. He had two silver stars, wounded twice, and two bronze stars at the Battle of the Bulge and D-Day. He suffered a broken arm in a Jeep overturn. He took a bullet to the helmet and that prevented him from further catastrophic damage, and he suffered shrapnel in his knee and his chin, and he went out and turned his life and into making golf his next battle, and he did so well.
Unbelievable.
These are just two examples of players that achieved the most coming through what they had to endure.
Yeah. Catastrophic injuries. Lose your eye. Still win. Amazing. Veterans Day tomorrow. I think we all by now know the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. I don't know, Bob or Craig, if you want to weigh in then on that, but Memorial Day, we celebrate veterans, and Veterans Day, we celebrate veterans, but we celebrate different ones on either day, and that's the difference, right? I don't know, Craig, are you aware? You're aware of that, I'm sure.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, very good. Everybody enjoy Veterans Day. I'm going to give Craig, what's your last word for the show?
Well, today is my 19th anniversary, so I'm wishing
my wife. Oh, congratulations. 19 years. Wonderful.
That's it.
Well, did you celebrate over the weekend, or are you going to have a romantic dinner tonight somewhere?
We're still debating on what we're going to do tonight. So,
okay, good.
Yep.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And everybody and anybody else that's having an anniversary or one that's coming up, congratulations to you too. Bob, final word from you.
I think about our veterans and going out and playing the game of golf and finding great bonding and partnerships through the game of golf to help them. And I think that's been one of the greatest rehabilitation efforts in American sports. And I salute that those have been working hard for PJ Hope and many, many other organizations have used the game of golf to help our men and women veterans.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw going to go out and have a great week, a busy week. I've got one coming up too. And of course, we have the Schwab Cup I'll be attending. So all that's going on. And I want to thank both of the gentlemen and you, the listeners, and our sponsors. Make sure you go to golfnewsnet.com and you pick up these shows today. They'll air two or three times, and then they're sent over to all the big audio platforms, as I mentioned in the early top of the show. And we're going to have a lot of fun this week playing some golf. And again, I say it twice, make sure you hydrate correctly and make sure you wear that sunscreen to protect your skin, the largest organ of your body. And I've gone through a couple of little events with my skin and some pre-cancer. So after my entire life of never even thinking about it, it finally hit me a couple of years ago, and I've mentioned that. So take care of yourself, folks. Enjoy, stay safe. Thank a veteran or many, and we will be back with you this coming Saturday morning for Great American Golf right here on Golf News Net and the other big platforms.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.